So our immediate past president, Frank Cohen, is away out of the country on safari. That only seems appropriate and right for Frank and animals, yes? He sent me a handful of pictures, a wonderful, this close to a lion and another shot of an elephant, but the most beautiful of the ones that he sent me was this unbelievable sunset that he managed to capture. And actually the caption on the text that he sent me was, "We take a moment for silent prayer." Right? And I bet we could sum up that prayer itself in one word, wow, right? That one photo for that. That might be the shortest prayer that I know, right? The shortest prayer, wow, when you see something amazing or experience a beautiful sunset or something like that. I guess you could also, the shortest prayer might be help, right? When you are trapped in a dire circumstance. Or maybe the shortest prayer could be thanks, right? When you hear news that a loved one is okay, right? Shortest prayers that we could have, wow, help, thanks. Right? These correspond actually to the three main modes of prayer: prayer of praising, prayer of petition or asking, prayer of thanksgiving or gratitude. Right? That actually is, I won't make you go back in the books, you'll trust me on this, but that is actually the structure of the main section of our service. The tefillah section begins with prayers of praise, the Avot V'Imahot, God, you are so awesome, you were the God of our ancestors. God, you are so mighty, Givurot, like a hero. God, you are so holy, right? Kiddusha. Prayers of praise. The intermediary prayers, the next section, are prayers of asking. On Shabbat, we actually don't do that section. We substitute a prayer about the holiness of Shabbat. But on the weekday, our service asks God for strength, for fortitude, for abundance, for courage, for peace, for a whole host of things. And then the third section of our prayer is the Modim prayer. Oh God, we give thanks to you for so many wondrous things. Praising, asking, thanking, wow, help, thanks, right? Other examples, are there other examples you can think of? When else might you say a praising prayer? Oh, this is the interactive part. I'm gonna ask questions, you're gonna respond. You online can add things in the chat as well. When else might you say a prayer of praise? Oh, you all are so quiet now, right, Sharon? When you've come through a difficult time, is that that might be a praising prayer, might be a thanking prayer as well for that. Okay, sometimes the line's a little blurry. What else might be a prayer of praise? Man, Shehachianu, right? Also a thanking prayer too. Thank you for getting us to this time, but praised are you, God, right? All prayers have some praise in them, the ones that start with Baruch, which means praised are you, right? Our Ma'ariv service is a prayer of praising, right? Seeing a rainbow for the first time, you praise God for opportunities like that. We've mentioned a couple of other thanking prayers, right? Shehachianu, or for reaching momentous times, or for, what are we going to do at the end when we get to eat the lovely challah that Sharon has baked for us? What prayer is that? Motzi, thank you, God, for bread that comes forth out of the earth, or that wheat that does that Sharon bakes into bread, right? What about asking prayers? What other kind of asking prayers do we know? Prayers that ask God for something. Misha Berach prayer. Good. Good. And as a matter of fact, I didn't plant that's a ringer, but that was the right answer, right? Because one form of our Misha Berach prayer, prayer for healing, is actually in our Torah portion this week, right? And it is actually one of the shortest prayers in the entire Bible. Our parsha this week, as Sharon's going to teach us tomorrow, is called Bahalotcha. It's got a lot of different stuff in it, as Sharon's going to tell us about. But at the end, there's this curious story. Miriam and Aaron seem to be bad-mouthing Moses. They might be challenging his choice of wives. They might be challenging his leadership. We can study that another time. But the upshot is that God punishes Miriam. Actually, why God punishes Miriam and not Aaron is also a study for another time. But in any event, Aaron begs Moses to do something. Miriam is afflicted with this skin ailment, with this rash, with this ugh of some kind or another. So Aaron says, Moses, do something. And Moses says five short words in Hebrew. El, na, rapha, na, la, which literally means God, please, heal, please, her, right? El, na, rapha, na, la. It's a prayer for healing like Misha Berach L'cholim, right? And it's the basis actually of the Heal Us Now setting of the healing prayer that we just sang. El, na, rapha, na, leaves off the la at the end for poetic reasons, right? But the original prayer in our Torah text, El, na, rapha, na, la, oh God, please heal her. What type of prayer is that prayer, El Na Rapha Na La? It's a help prayer. It's an asking prayer. It's a please give me prayer. It's an intercessory prayer. God will intercede and give us what we ask for. Now, I have to say, for some of us, though, this does prompt the question about prayer. Does God hear us when we pray? Does God respond to our prayers? Do we personally believe in a God that answers prayer like that? Do we believe in the power of prayer to change things? Now, I imagine we all know some instances where prayer might seem to work. Somebody does get better. A lost child is found. Lost car keys are found. A math test is passed. We can ask for things, and things do tend to happen. But I imagine if we stop to think about it, we all might be able to find instances where we feel like prayer doesn't work. And maybe especially Misha Berach, because some of the people who we pray for get better, and some of them don't. So we might ask, what does Judaism really believe about this mode of prayer, about this style, this way of understanding God? Now, look, it certainly is not as fervent a belief in most segments of our community as it is in some parts of the Christian community, right? I've been told on a number of times, I will pray for you. Right? And I try to take that with the open heart with which it is most often intended, right? Or communities will pray for or on behalf of others. With all that our community has been going through and everything that the land of Israel has been going through and the anti-Semitism in our community, on a number of times in my communication with Pastor Todd at Christ Church next door, he has said, our community is praying for you. And I can feel that, right? But that sense, right, requires this firm belief that prayers might make a difference and that we, through our prayers, might be able to convince God to do X, Y, or Z thing that maybe God was or wasn't intending to do from the beginning. It's not out of the norm in Judaism for this. The traditional Misha Berach prayer is an example of this. We ask God to heal those we love from illness, right? The petitionary prayers of the tefillah, God, please give us abundance and sustenance and peace and wisdom and things, right? But for us to believe that that type of prayer works, we also have to believe in that type of a God who intercedes in human affairs and makes those prayers work, right? We have to believe in a God who sometimes micromanages the fine details, right? The God of the Bible who we read about, right? That's the type of God who intercedes in human affairs in response to prayer. And many of us might have this understanding of who God is and what God does. But not all of us necessarily believe in God that way. There are other ways of understanding God. Not just 10 days ago, our confirmation students stood up here on this bima, and having explored with me a variety of different theologies, different Jewish ways of understanding God, expressed to us some of their beliefs as well. It's okay. Judaism doesn't mandate a theistic view of God, where God is large and in charge and in control of every single detail. There are other ways of believing about God. We don't all have to always believe in that type of God, but then what's the function of prayer? And what role does prayer have? And what are we doing praying as if we did, if that isn't the God or the understanding of God that we believe in? Now, sometimes we might reinterpret the prayer to fit where our own personal theology may be. Rabbi Stephen Fink once wrote in Reform Judaism magazine, "When we ask God to heal those who are ill, most of us do not really expect the Eternal to automatically grant cures. What we are really asking God to do is to give them and their healers strength and courage and hope." And that's a prayer we can get behind. Sometimes we say the prayer not for God or for the person we're praying for, but for ourselves, because it makes us feel like, in a time when there's little that we can do, it makes us feel like we are doing something, that we are bringing on comfort on an emotional and spiritual, if not necessarily a rational level. And sometimes we do believe in intercessory prayer, if only for a moment or two, for a prayer or two. It can be comforting to think of a God who cares about us like that. And it can be a source of help for us. All of these different ways of understanding and conceiving about God are going to impact how we understand and believe in prayer as well. One other thought. Do you know what happened to Miriam, by the way? So Miriam gets punished, gets afflicted by this skin ailment, right? And Moses prays. And what does God do? Does God heal Miriam right away? No. Miriam, like everybody else who's afflicted with that skin ailment, has to go outside the camp for 7 days. And then when the disease abates and her punishment is over, then she's integrated back in. Sometimes we can recognize that just because we ask for something in prayer doesn't mean that God is always going to grant it in prayer. Sometimes it's not that God isn't listening to us. Sometimes we ask and God says, "Not yet." Or sometimes we ask and God says no. There are many different reasons why people pray. Praising God, thanking God, asking God for things, and other motivations as well. And our different modes of prayer can also reflect our different ways of understanding God and God's role in our lives. We each have our own reason and our own understanding. Think for just a minute. Why did you come here tonight? What has been your intention while we prayed? Maybe I should have given the sermon at the start of our service to have you think about that. There probably are 40 or 50 different answers, including reasons that may have nothing to do with God about why we came or why we pray. And that's okay too. Friends, whether our prayers are short or long, whether they are praising or asking or thanking or reflecting, whether they are based in a belief in God or a belief in ourselves and human beings, whether they are prompted by any number of motivations, we hope and pray that our prayers and our praying are intentional and heartfelt, and we pray that the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts are always acceptable to God. As together we say, Amen.